There's also a hierarchy of beauty. This hierarchy is illustrated by a well-known episode recounted in the Pali scriptures. The Buddha, as you know, had many disciples. Some were monks, some were, so to speak, lay people. Some were old, some were young. And one of the Buddha's disciples was a monk, a young monk, called Sundarananda. Sundarananda left home, inspired by the Buddha's teaching. He followed the Buddha into the forest. But though he had become a monk, though he had left home, though he'd followed the Buddha into the forest, he was still very attached to his former wife, whom he married just a short while before going forth as a monk. His wife, we are told, was very beautiful, so it wasn't really surprising that Sundarananda, even though he'd become a monk, was still very much attached to her, and was in fact, we are told, always thinking of her. So there he was with the Buddha, in the forest, sitting under a tree, trying to meditate. But he just couldn't. His mind, his thoughts were always going back, back home, back to his beautiful wife, wondering, what is she doing? With whom is she talking? Does she miss me? Is she thinking about me? So Sundarananda was in rather a state. Things were coming up, for Sundarananda. Human nature is the same, all over the world in all the centuries. So what did the Buddha do? Obviously the Buddha had to do something about it. The Buddha had to take action, maybe even drastic action. So the Buddha did take drastic action. He exerted one of his supernormal powers. Powers which even the chairman of FWBO centers don't possess. By his supernormal power, the Buddha immediately, in a twinkling of an eye, he transported Sundarananda up into a higher heavenly world. And he showed him the inhabitants of that higher heavenly world. And among the inhabitants there were 500 beautiful goddesses. And these goddesses were infinitely more beautiful than any human female. We're told that they were pink-footed. They were dove-footed because, in India at least doves, little white doves have pretty pink feet. And in India, in ancient times, as well as in modern times, the ladies paint their feet pink so that they look like little white doves or big white doves. So here, in this higher heavenly world, there were these 500 dazzlingly beautiful goddesses, infinitely more beautiful than any human female, and all with pink feet. So when Sundarananda saw them, he was absolutely overwhelmed by this beautiful sight, and he at once lost all his attachment to his wife. In fact, when he thought of his wife, she seemed, in comparison with these 500 goddesses, with pink feet, she seemed positively ugly. And according to the text, Sundarananda gave expression to his sense of the difference between them in a manner that might be considered rather ungallant. I won't tell you what he said. So here we have a hierarchy of beauty. The lower earthly beauty, the higher heavenly beauty, and all the intermediate grades of beauty in between. And we find this hierarchy of beauty not only in the Buddha's teaching in the Pali Canon, we find it exemplified not only in the Buddha's teaching in the Pali Canon, we also find that this conception of a hierarchy of beauty occupies a very important place in the teachings of Plato. I know some of you at least have read Plato's Symposium, and that hierarchy of beauty figures there. It features also in the somewhat later teachings of that great follower and disciple of Plato, Plotinus. There's a whole tractate, a whole Ennead of Plotinus, simply called On Beauty. And this also features the hierarchy of beauty, the earthly beauty leading upward to the higher heavenly beauty. We also find this hierarchy of beauty figuring very importantly in the teachings of the various Sufi schools within Islam. If you read Persian Sufi mystical poetry, well, after a few lines you're sure to come across some reference to beauty in this sort of way, this sort of sense. But in the case of Buddhism, historically speaking, even though we have that particular episode in the Pali Canon, and though there are other references to beauty, even to a hierarchy of beauty in the Buddhist scriptures, historically speaking, Buddhists didn't develop this particular approach to the spiritual life. It's as though later Buddhists in the East, didn't take that particular teaching of the Buddhas to heart, didn't develop it. And sometimes I wonder whether it might not be developed in the West among Western Buddhists. Because the Buddha's teachings, after all, were vast, were oceanic, and not all those teachings have yet, by any means, received their full development, not in the East. And perhaps some of those teachings remain to be developed in the West. It's not that Eastern Buddhists did not and do not appreciate beauty. After all, they produced an enormous quantity of very fine, very great art. But they didn't recognize, it seems, that the appreciation of higher and ever higher levels of beauty can constitute a kind of spiritual path.